We're looking at the covenants. Okay? We talked about the Edenic covenant, the Adamic covenant, the Noahic covenant. And the first two there are not specifically called covenants in the scripture. So perhaps they're not. But the Noahic is an unconditional, everlasting covenant. Then we talked about the Mosaic covenant. Then we talked about the priestly covenant. And tonight, I want to look at the Palestinian covenant. There are two aspects to this covenant. There is an immediate and conditional part, which is basically chapter 28 and 29. And there's also a future unconditional part, which is basically chapter 30. And these roughly correspond to law and grace. Okay. So, and this covenant gives the conditions under which Israel was to enter into the promised land. And it was promised to them under which covenant? The Abrahamic covenant. Very good. Abrahamic covenant has four parts. There's a personal part. Abraham would become very great. It has a national part. There would be a great nation formed from his children. It has a land part. He was going to be given all that land and his descendants. And then there's also a universal part. In him, all the nations of the earth, all the peoples of the earth would be blessed. And that's the Messiah, Christ. Moses, obviously, these words are inspired, but Moses anticipated that the people of Israel would fail when they entered the promised land and would turn away from God. And that's why as we read through this, you'll see there's 14 verses of blessing and 54 verses of cursing. And so he emphasizes the cursing because he anticipated that they would turn away from God. And Israel did sin, they turned from God, and has never possessed all the land. And so as we go through it, you'll see, or you should wonder, how does this differ than the Abrahamic covenant? How does it differ from the priestly covenant? Because they're kind of all meshed and overlap. So we'll see if we can pull them apart a little bit and then put them back together. But in Deuteronomy 18, you ready? Remember, Israel is on the east side of Jordan. They're getting ready to cross over into the promised land under Joshua's leadership and to attack and take it. They've already done some battle. There's two kings that they've already defeated on the east side. And pretty much all of Deuteronomy occurs in one day. So while you think this might be long reading chapter 28, which has 64 verses, imagine standing and listening to Moses speak the book of Deuteronomy. All occurred in pretty much one day. So, Deuteronomy 28. It shall come to pass if, there's a condition, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. These are all the blessings. And these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of thy God. Overtake thee. It's like, you know, it's like a freight train. This boatload. I just changed metaphors, sorry. This trainload of blessings are going to overtake you, run you down. It's like you can't, you know, can't contain them all. Verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, that's talking about children, and the fruit of thy cattle, ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, that's the cattle, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store, your pantry, your food warehouse. Blessed shalt be thou when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. You're going to be blessed in all your routine affairs, just your daily, you know, routine. The Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Okay. Military victory. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. The Lord intended for Israel to be a witness nation. The Lord intended Israel to evangelize, to be a testimony. This is what I will do to the nation that loves me and obeys me. This is how I will bless and protect them, to draw the pagans to him. Verse 10, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Why? Because he's protecting them. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, his children, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. And the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, his blessings, his benefits, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, to bless all the work of thy hand. Thou shalt lend unto many nations. Thou shalt not borrow. You're going to have plenty of money, enough to lend to all these pagan nations. The Lord shall give thee the head, and shall make thee, excuse me, the head and not the tail. You're going to be in control of things. You're not going to be, you know, whipped around like a tail. You're going to be the one directing things. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside, not deviate from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. There's the blessings. Verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Remember that train load of blessings? Now you got this train load of curses. Verse 16. And it pretty much parallels. You could kind of write these down in a column and just the 180-degree opposite. Negatives. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, that's children, the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, the cattle, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. All your routine, mundane, everyday things, you're going to be cursed in them. Brushing your teeth, you're going to be cursed. Weeding your garden, working your fields, cursed. All that. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence, disease, sickness cleave unto thee, until he has consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption. I remember reading years ago about that word consumption. What's the old word? Or what's the old disease that was called consumption? TB, tuberculosis. My brother, the house he's living in now, older house, has a TB room up in the attic. It was kind of all enclosed, and they found it up there. What was a TB room? It was an unheated room. People with tuberculosis had fever. They'd stick them in there, an unheated room in the winter to let the cold try to bring their fever down. Consumption. The Lord will smite thee with consumption, verse 22, and with the fever, and with inflammation and extreme burning, with the sword, with blasting. That's some kind of plant disease, or maybe scorching. And with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And the heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be consumed. The land will be like iron. Any rain that might fall, it's not going to penetrate. You're not going to be able to plow it. And it says the rain will be like dust and powder. It'll be a drought until, this is an agrarian, right? If it didn't rain, their crops didn't grow and their cattle and sheep would die. Till thou be consumed. Verse 25, the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thy enemies. No more military victory. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. Thou shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. You're going to be deported, conquered, and shipped out. And thy carcass shall be meat to all fowls of the air and to the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. No one's going to chase these vultures, these scavengers, away from your dead bodies. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt. The boils. Remember one of the plagues, boils from Egypt? God will turn those plagues to his people who have forsaken him. And with the emerods, I had looked that up. One source said tumors. Another source said hemorrhoids. I don't know. And with the scab and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, mental disorders, blindness, and astonishment of heart. Panic attacks. Thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropes in darkness. Thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. Thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife. Now, betrothal. Mary and Joseph were betrothed. What is betrothal? It's exactly like marriage in all respects, except they haven't come together physically. They are legally married. We don't have that period. We have engagement. But engagement, you don't get divorced. You just break the engagement. To be, if you're betrothed, divorce. Remember Joseph and Mary were betrothed, and he pondered about how to put her away. That's divorce. So here, someone is betrothed. They haven't yet come together, though. And another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house. Thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard. Thou shalt not gather the grapes. Back in Deuteronomy 20, verses 5, 6, and 7, it talks about someone who's recently married is exempt from military duty. Right? And it lists these three things. So here, somebody is betrothed, haven't come together, but because they're under military attack and they're losing, that exemption is revoked. Everyone has to go and fight. And somebody else violates his betrothed wife. He built a house, he can't live there. Why? He went out to fight. And the Lord is against them. They're going to die. Verse 31. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes. Thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from thee before thy face and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given to thy enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people. And thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. There shall be no might in thy hands. Going to see your children taken captive. You're going to want to see them back and look and not see them again. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. Thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch. That's that boil. That cannot be healed from the sole of thy foot to the top of thy head. Very much like Job, right? This one big sore, one big boil. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee. Look, he even knew that they had no king at this time. This is all in the future. They're going to ask for a king. Unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there thou shalt serve other gods, wood and stone. Thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out to the field, shall gather but little in, for the locusts shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor eat the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coasts, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with oil. For an olive shall cast his fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but shall not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity, taken away as slaves. All the trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not to the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. They shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed, thy children forever. Why? Because thou served not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. When they had the good time, and they did, they went into the promised land, and initially, under Joshua, they had success. Yes, there was a defeated Ai, but that was rectified. They had success, success, success. Blessing of God. They went into lands, fields that they didn't plant, vineyards that they didn't plant, cities they didn't build, and they took possession of them. They didn't serve the Lord with gladness, with joyfulness and gladness of heart. Can it get any worse? Yes, it will get worse than what was just described. Therefore, thou shalt serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want, lack for all things. He shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck till he has destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue, whose language thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of old, nor shall favor to the young. He shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land, till thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kine, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. He shall besiege thee in all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trusted throughout all the land. He shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Thou shalt eat the fruit of thy own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness, the difficulty, the harshness of it, wherewith thy enemies shall distress thee. You're going to be besieged, and in starvation you're going to eat your children. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, okay, the man who has a compassionate heart, who's not a violent type of person, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother. And look at his brother and say, I'm going to eat you. I'm going to roast you and eat you. Toward the wife of his bosom, eating his wife. Toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. So that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat. Okay? He's not even going to share the children that he starts to eat. He won't even share that child with his other children. Because he hath nothing left him in the siege, and with the straitness, the difficulty, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, wouldn't even too tenderfoot to put her barefoot on the ground. Her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, toward her son and toward her daughter, toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, toward her children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things, for lack of all things, secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thy enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law which are written in this book, referring to not just Deuteronomy, but the whole Pentateuch, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful or awesome name, the Lord thy God. That title, that name, the Lord thy God, appears 280 times just in Deuteronomy. The Lord thy God. He's telling his people, fear me, trust me, obey me, and yet they soon failed. Verse 59, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful. That's not a good thing. And the plagues of thy seed, thy children, even great plagues and of long continuance and sore sickness and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of. They shall cleave unto thee. All those diseases that he smote Egypt with, and they saw the results, they saw it. Remember, well, at least they heard of it, because this was the generation 20 and under. Right? All those things that you heard about, God will bring them upon you. Also, every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law. That's how I know that it's not just Deuteronomy, because Deuteronomy doesn't talk about that. That's the Exodus. The book of Exodus has all those plagues from Egypt, which the Lord will bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of thy God, of the Lord thy God. It shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and to multiply you, So the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. You shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. Among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. Am I going to die? Am I going to live? And thou shalt fear day and night. Thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were evening. And at evening thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thy heart wherewith thou shalt fear, for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. Never content. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships. By the way, whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondmen for slaves, and no man shall buy you. Okay? Going to be sold as a slave, but no one will buy you. What does that mean? The Hebrews could sell themselves to another Hebrew for money, and then they would be released at the end of 7 years' servitude. No Hebrew is going to have any money to buy you. You're going to be sold as a slave. Where? To Egypt. And in AD 70, Titus, the Roman general, came and conquered Israel, leveled the temple, took every block down, talking blocks, you know, like several tons, laid them, just as Christ predicted, not one stone will be left on top of another, and took 17,000 of the surviving Jews, put them on a ship, and sent them to Egypt. Just like it says here. Those that were under 17 were sold on the public auction block as slaves. To whom? To the Romans that conquered. We're going to take them back to their homeland. Now, that sounds horrible. It is horrible. Why would anyone turn from the Lord and not want those blessings? You're going to be blessed wherever you go. You're going to have tons of food. You're going to have train loads of blessing. You're going to have military victory. Nobody will be able to stand before you. You're going to be blessed in every aspect. Now, if you were truly selfish, would you not determine to obey the Lord and have all those blessings? If you were truly selfish, would you say, there is no way I'm going to take those 54 verses of curses? And yet, it's not in man. It's not in woman to be able to obey God. Unless God changes our heart. The depravity of man is so ingrained that we need a new heart. We need a new nature. Now, this is the third theocratic covenant. Theocratic, concerning with God's rule over Israel as a nation, kind of like, you know, presidential rule, a theocracy, ruled by God. The first was the Abrahamic, and then the Mosaic, and now this one. It is specific to the Jews as that aspect also references. I mean, it goes on into the millennium because we haven't yet. We looked at the immediate and conditional part. Right? Now turn, we're going to skip 29 for time's sake. Go to chapter 30. We'll read verses 1 through 10 and look at the future unconditional part. Remember, I said they kind of correspond to law and grace. 30 verse 1. It shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse. Okay, so they've been through the blessing part and they've been through the curse part, which I've set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven him. Okay, the Lord has dispersed them, sent them out. Verse 2. And shalt return unto the Lord thy God. and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children and all, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, will return and gather thee from all nations where the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the uttermost parts of heaven from thence, from there will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence he will fetch thee. You don't have to try to wander back. You don't have to try to fight your way back. God will fetch it. Kind of like the ark, Noah's ark and the animals. Noah didn't have to go out and lasso all those animals. He didn't have to trap them. Right? God brought them to the ark. God will fetch thee. Verse 5. The Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. He will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart. That is, say, Bible code. That is biblical language for give you a new nature. And the heart of thy seed, thy children, not just you. God is going to convert your children to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. Thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thy hand, in the fruit of thy body, children, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So the conditions are given there in verses 1 and 2, and also in verses 10. But I thought, you should say, I thought you said this was unconditional. It's okay. Well, I did. So which is it? Is it conditional or unconditional? All right, those are two opposing things that can't both be true at the same time, in the same respect. Law of non-contradiction. There were two major exiles. Three. The first two, Assyrian exile and Babylonian exile. Some returned, but not all people returned. And those that did return did not turn to the Lord with all their heart. Sinners can't turn to the Lord with all their heart. Look in chapter 29, verse 4. The chapter we skipped. 29, verse 4. Moses is calling on, verse 21 says, these are the words of, verse 1, excuse me. Chapter 29, verse 1. These are the words of the covenant, okay? This is a covenant. It's going to be established. And in verse 4 it says, yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, to understand. The Lord has not given you eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. He said, you still don't get it. God hasn't yet done a work in your heart. But as individuals, yes, he's talking to the nation as a whole. God has not yet saved every single Israelite. It was a mixed multitude, if you will. Those who trusted in God and those who didn't. And God punished the nation based on what the nation as a whole did, turned from him. But there's coming a day when God will give the people of Israel a new heart. Right? We'll talk about that. That's called the new covenant, the last one we'll talk about. But sinners can't. Without God doing something inside of us to make us stop rebelling against God, stop rejecting Him, and to instead run to Him. The Roman exile was the third exile of the Jews. And it continues to this day. Right? That was the one, the last verse, verse 68 of chapter 28. It's still continuing for 2,000 years. They have rejected Christ. They have rejected God's plan. Yes, in 1948, they were gathered together as a nation. but the nation as a whole is still rejecting Christ. By and large, they're atheists. I remember hearing some missionary there, he said, all government vehicles, license plates start with 666. Do you think that's by accident? Right, to show their disdain for Christianity. Okay. But one day, God will work in the heart of his covenant people, Israel. Like verse 6, circumcise their heart. God will do something to them, and they will, as a nation, turn to Christ, and all Israel shall be saved. That's the future aspect. The future aspect of this Palestinian covenant, I said there is an immediate conditional and a future unconditional. That future unconditional aspect ties in with the new covenant, Jeremiah 31, 32, or 33. This is the major one. And that is unconditional. So, that was one page of notes. Got one more. Basically, to summarize, God said to his people, obey me and I will bless your socks off. You will be the envy of the world, of the whole world. You'll have every prosperity you can dream of. Disobey me and I will curse you and make you the scum of the earth. And sadly, once again, man shows he's incapable of obeying God for long. We have this Adamic nature, this fallen nature that's bent towards sin. It's like if you've ever tried to straighten out a piece of spring steel. It's bent, it was made that way. And you have to remake it to get it straightened out. Is that right, Brother Jim? Total depravity. Even when offered the world, so to speak, all these blessings, and man still cannot do it. Man can't obey God on his own. Man can't make it to heaven. Man can't. The law and grace. It's there. It's offered. But he can't. God has to work in us. And it's great to know that in salvation, God has given us a new nature. We are right now recipients of the new covenant. Jesus said at the Last Supper, this is the new covenant in my blood. So while it pertains to Israel, Israel's the focus of the new covenant, we get to tag along, if you will. Someone said we get the splash over of the blessings. You know, God pours those blessings out and they splash to us, Gentiles. God has given us a new nature, a new spirit, and grace to obey him. And one day, that old nature that I mentioned this morning, at the rapture or at death, we will be changed. So it's exciting to see how God's going to fulfill this Palestinian covenant, along with the Abrahamic, along with the priestly covenants. And then we're going to look at the Davidic covenant, because the Davidic covenant overlaps a lot of the Abrahamic. So we're going to see these things. I don't know how they're going to work out. I don't understand even how to put a Venn diagram. This would be a perfect time to do a Venn diagram. Here's the priestly covenant. Here's the Abrahamic covenant, and here's the Palestinian covenant. Where do they overlap and where are they separate? But your pastor is not that good of a scholar. So we'll have to wait and see how God will fulfill them, perhaps in our lifetime. Right? But God will do what he has said. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 25, which we'll get to next time on the Davidic covenant. David says, after being told by God, I'm going to establish this covenant, David prays, and now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. God will do as he has said. Not on our timetable, maybe not according to our understanding, but when it's all done, we'll be able to look back and see, look how perfectly it fit exactly what he said he would do. If you're able to stand, would you? Our Father, we thank you and praise you that you are God. That your name is awesome. That your name reflects upon your character. That your works are an extension of who you are. Father, we praise you for salvation. Praise you that one day you will keep your promises to your people Israel. And that as you keep those promises, we can be assured that you will keep your promises to the church. Thank you that you grafted us in wild olives to the cultured, planted olive tree. We marvel at your wisdom, at your power, your grace. We ask your blessing upon us as we fellowship and as we sing. In Jesus' name, amen.